This is the Talon Marks Campus News Hour on WPMD On The Net, bringing you what's happening and who's happening on the campus of Cerritos College. Here are your hosts, Tito Benavides and Enrique Rivera.
Today is October 5th, 2011. Welcome to Talon Marks Campus News Hour on WPMD.org On The Net, bringing you news and information campus-wide. I'm Tito Benavides.
And I'm Enrique Rivera.
iFalcon is implementing Purple Thursdays, a day where the faculty and students are encouraged to wear purple to raise awareness to iFalcon and student success. News editor Anthony Hodge reporting.
My name's Francie Quaz Berryman. First and foremost, I'm a professor of English. Okay. I also have the responsibility of being the Developmental Education and Success Center Coordinator.
Could you tell me about Purple Thursdays?
Yeah, the idea for Purple Thursdays, it's kind of like other campaigns, like where, like for breast cancer, they wear the pink ribbons, or servicemen go overseas, they, you know, wear the yellow ribbons. It's that sort of thing to raise awareness. So the idea behind Purple Thursdays is to raise awareness, particularly for, hopefully for students, to make a commitment towards their own academic success, but also to raise awareness with faculty that they also need to be committed towards that success on campus. So it's just really an awareness campaign.
And who thought of this idea?
Well, it's sort of grown organically. And it's come up in a couple of groups. It came up in the iFalcon coordinating group. Professor Steve Clifford, Professor Lynn Serwin, the people who are coordinating the iFalcon campaign. And then also with Brian Reese, who's the Dean of Student Success and Institutional Effectiveness. But again, trying to get something, you know, we've got the posters and stuff around for iFalcon, but trying to get something that students would ask questions about. So if there are a lot of us wearing purple, people will say, why are you guys all wearing purple? And then we can say, oh, well, it's a symbol of our commitment towards student success on this campus. So it's a way to get a conversation started.
So did this start it today particularly?
No, we've actually been doing it for a while, but we're trying to get the word out more broadly. I think it's funny. I don't know how you heard about it, but I thought it was kind of funny that you came around. We've been doing it for a while, and I've been posting it on the iFalcon Facebook page. And then yesterday I sent out an email to all the faculty, counselors, deans, and then it also went to all the classified staff. So Brian Reese, when he sends out his email to students next week, it'll also go out in the email to students. But I've been putting it on Facebook the last couple of weeks.
So is there like a particular goal you guys are setting for the students, faculty to wear the purple shirts every Thursday?
Well, yeah, ideally we'd like people to do it on Thursdays. But again, it's just a way to... It's not like, oh, can we get this many people? I mean, I would love to see, like, tons of purple out there, because then I know, oh, the message is getting out. But it's also kind of a fun way to get the message out. It's low stress. And it's something that almost everybody can participate in. I mean, if you've just got a purple ball cap, you can say, yay, I'm on Purple Thursday. So
do you have anything to say about it?
Wear purple on Thursday.
Okay, thank you.
After 3 seasons in the new Aquatic Center facility, women's water polo coach Sergio Macias gives his evaluation of the upgraded swimming area. Staff writer James Williams reporting.
Sergio Macias.
And can you tell me your position on the team?
I'm the women's water polo head coach.
And it's almost been a year since the new Aquatic Center has opened. How do you feel it turned out?
Yeah, this is our third season in this pool, and it works out great for our swim classes, our water polo season, our swim season. Everybody's happy. We're able to accommodate various levels of swimmers in our swim classes in both the adaptive shallow pool as well as the deep pool for our more experienced swimmers.
How do you feel the aquatic center here compares to other aquatic centers in other campuses you guys participate and compete in?
We have one of the best facilities in the state at the community college level. So our team takes a lot of pride in representing our pool when we host games. It's a great setup. Again, I can't complain about our facility. We're definitely happy to have it.
So there's nothing you would want to change or see added to the aquatic center here?
I think it would be nice if we had a team room and team locker rooms for both our water polo and swim teams. That would be something neat for the team, as opposed to sharing the current facilities.
And where is that at, those room you're talking about?
The current locker room is shared with other sports on campus. It's right here in the old locker rooms.
There's one more thing I want to add, if I could.
Oh, okay. Another thing that would be a nice feature is to have a water polo office on the pool deck. I think we're one, if not the only, aquatic program that does not have an office on the deck that could oversee the facility.
Is that something you have talked to maybe the athletic director or someone who would probably be able to get maybe that done for you?
I think we tried to ask for an office on the pool deck, but it got turned down when we were trying to figure out what we were going to get with the pool, so we had to use our current office right now as our water polo office.
So do you think somewhere down the line in the future it's a possibility?
I'm not sure how the school could go about approving that. It would be nice, but I'm not sure what we'd have to do to get that done.
How does the aquatic center and the surroundings help your team's performance compared to previous seasons when you were right here in the front of the physical education office?
I think our team has learned to appreciate our facility. Nobody that's on the team this year came from an aquatic facility that's nicer than ours, and we have a great maintenance, a pool technician, Glenn Meyer, who also helps out with our men's team and our diving coach. So he takes a lot of pride in our facility, so it's a win-win situation for everybody.
Okay. And what are your expectations for the team for the remainder of this season?
We still want to continue to improve, to have success and winning the important games, and we still want to contend for a conference championship. If we do that, we're going to qualify for playoffs. Once we're in playoffs, then we want to finish top two. That way we'll be able to play at our home pool for the state championship.
And what do you think of having the playoffs being held here?
I think if given the opportunity to play in the state championship tournament, I think we'll do really well playing in front of our home crowd and our own pool. I think it's a huge advantage for us. The hardest part is to get to the state tournament.
The second International Tea Time, a presentation hosted by the International Student Association, was held in Social Science Building 138 on September 28th. This presentation was the second in a series that will continue throughout the semester. Online editor Jim Brannan reporting.
My name is Aldo Modello, and I'm on International Business Administration Marketing and Management major with a double major in art. And I'm a member of the International Students Association, known as the ISA.
So how many international tea time presentations have taken place so far this semester?
So far, we've only taken two. We've only been to Spain, which was today. Last week, it was Mexico. Because it was Hispanic Heritage Month, so it was our tribute to them. For the upcoming month, for October, it's going to be Black History Month and Filipino American Month. So it's pretty much going to go on throughout the whole semester.
Have there been any cases so far when someone might have mistaken that as Tea Party affiliated stuff?
Not really. Never have been. We've never even heard of someone saying, oh, are we going to be drinking some tea? Except only for the fact when we make jokes on it. I was like, oh, so is it going to be a day of tea? You know, that kind of thing. But it's pretty much more of a culture lecture of how everything goes.
One thing that was interesting was the passports. Can you tell me a little bit about how the passports were?
The passports was pretty much last semester's plan in terms of getting each and every member to actually go to the meetings every week. So when they do come to the meetings, we'll basically give them a little stamp and tell them that there will be an incentive if they go to each and every meeting and then completing the requirements of the passport. Last semester, it was only attending the meetings and doing the team building exercises. This semester, we're basically doing the passports for the International Tea Time. If they go to each and every meeting, they get a stamp from the presenter, and if they do complete each and every International Tea Time, they do get an incentive at the end of the semester.
Was there any thought about planning today's presentation on Spain? Did that have anything to do with Cerritos College's study abroad program, or was it purely coincidence?
It was purely coincidental at first, until just today we thought that it reminded us that there is an study abroad program at Spain. We kind of neglected the fact that we were also supposed to promote that, and when Danita Kurtz, our advisor, mentioned it at the meeting, that's when we were like, oh yes, we do have that. So it was just pure coincidence, and it was more negligent on our side in terms of, like, we should have thought about it and to tie that into one knot.
Manny Mendez, what is your major?
Right now I'm studying business. I'm a business major.
I see. And are you a member of the ISA or an officer?
I'm not an officer. I've been a member about a year and a half already. I started off just a regular member. I've been assigned a couple of projects, and I've been nominated for a position, but I wasn't able to take it because of conflict of schedules.
And so today you'll be doing a presentation on Spain, correct?
That's correct.
And so what can you tell me about your presentation today, what you're looking forward to about it?
I think what initially I say we're trying to accomplish is to get a better understanding of what the people that are part of ISA are coming from. And so I'm very excited and eager to share that with them today, make sure that they get to understand my family's point of views on some of the scenarios or things that are happening right now. A lot of things has to do with culture also, which were implemented on how I see or I stand on my points of views and on how I was raised also. So I'm trying to share that with them so they have a better understanding where at least where I come from at this point in time.
Were you born in Spain?
I was not. My parents were. They're both born and raised pretty much more than half of their life over there, and my grandma over there too.
Before everything gets underway, do you have any other thoughts?
I hope everything does come out pretty nice and smooth, and I hope they like what we're about to bring to them and they enjoy it. And the most important thing, they actually understand and grasp that into them. And hopefully, you know, they take the experience for what it's worth.
Homecoming festivities will maintain its time-honored traditions with homecoming court elections, court introductions, activity night, the mock rally, homecoming week, which consists of building the homecoming floats by the various campus clubs. Floats will be judged that weekend. Students are encouraged to participate and get to know their fellow student body. Staff writer London Overtone reporting.
My first question would be just for you to give me an overall description of what homecoming is going to be like this year.
We stick with our tradition.
Okay.
So it's a school tradition of what most of our staff does. The dance is something that's added if the students want to do it, and this year they wanted to have a dance.
Okay.
Right now we're in the homecoming court elections, which happen Wednesday and Thursday. So the ladies that are running out of that, there are seven ladies chosen, usually seven, who are the homecoming court. Mm-hmm. And they have the title of the princess. And they have different activities next week. On Tuesday the 11th, they do court introductions where we are in the student center and we introduce the ladies that made it to the princess level and get to know them a little better, ask them some questions, you know, things like that. Then on Wednesday the 12th, they have activity night where they go and visit the different nighttime classes, mm-hmm. Go around and introduce themselves to the nighttime, introduce what events, what activities are coming up, talk about the homecoming game,
right.
Halftime show, things like that at those classrooms in the evening. Because the role of the homecoming court is really the ambassadors for homecoming, what the activities are, trying to encourage students to get out and get involved and be active and, you know, come to the football game and support the team, all that kind of stuff. On Thursday is the mock rally, which takes place in the student center at 11 o'clock also. And part of that is that each of the ladies picks a gentleman to mock her, dress up like her, pretend to be her, and answer a question, do a little routine. So it's kind of like a spoof on it, just kind of fun, silly stuff. But, you know, it's a break from the traditional, you know, academic side. It's just a little, have some fun and have a good time. So it usually is. And there's actually judges, and they pick the best mocker or who they think is the best. And usually it's the one that has the most fun and has a good time, and it's just kind of silly, you know. So and sometimes the one that looks just like the girl. It's amazing how well these guys could do. It's really a lot of fun. Then the following week is homecoming week, where we start the float building on the 17th through the 21st. The floats are given out on Monday to the different clubs that have signed up to do that. They build from 3 o'clock in the afternoon when they get their float beds. Usually they're getting materials ready the first day, but they can build until 10 p.m. that night. It's on the visitor side of the stadium. Then on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, they're there from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Working on the floats, and anybody's welcome to come and join. Even if you're not in a club, they need volunteers. People should go out and check it out. It's kind of a fun place to be and see what's going on. And then on Friday, they build from 10 a.m. till midnight. So we're there pretty late. From 10 to midnight, it's like what we call silent hour. So they basically can do painting, touch up, paperwork, but no drills, no hammers, no saw, you know, it's no radios. It's because there's families that live on the other side. So we try to respect the neighbors as best as we can and keep it quiet for them after 10 o'clock. The theme this year is old-time rock and roll, so the floats are built around that theme. So there's usually 20 clubs that build, so that's kind of a fun thing to come out and see. Then on Saturday, we have our judging that goes on. We have specific judges that are invited out to judge the float. They pick their favorites and have a whole sheet because there's like 13 different awards. Then we come in and with some of the club members that are there and our judges, we have a luncheon. And then they go through the awards for the different floats. That night at the homecoming game during halftime, you'll see the queen crowned. And then we do a parade of floats. And each of the floats that have won a award, they have a banner that they walk behind. So it's kind of fun. Yeah. So it's a fun event. I mean, we try to just encourage, you know, even if you don't win, just have fun building the float and have a good time. That's what it's all about, you know, team spirit, camaraderie, getting out there. A lot of the floats help each other when they're out there. And that's really nice to see, the teamwork involved.
It's good to see that we are involved because last year I didn't know about any of this stuff.
A lot of people don't. It's amazing. I mean, we do have stuff on the website. We try to post posters around campus. It's, I mean, that's the big thing is if there's something posted on the wall, it's a good idea to stop and read it. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people are so busy texting nowadays. I mean, that's how I communicate with everybody is through my text messaging. So I totally get that. But at the same time, we put posters up on the walls. There's a bulletin board right outside our front door that has all the different events. We put out a Falcon flyer that has the monthly events in our office. You know, we try to let students know what's out there. And we ask that, you know, like through Talamarks and WPMD, that they have stuff in the paper that advertise these things to students. So if they're reading it, then they're getting more. Right. And hopefully, like, word of mouth, people are talking about it. So, you know, it's hard. You have 22,000 students from every walk of life and from different places and locations. So it's like finding the different ways to get out the information. So hopefully people are looking for it and are starting to find it.
Are most of the candidates for the homecoming court, are they incoming freshmen, or do we have a selection?
We usually have a selection. I don't know specifically their freshmen, sophomores, or what. I actually don't know the candidates that well personally. We've met them. We've taken their pictures for the ballot, things like that. They have to be enrolled in 6 units at Cerritos College and have a 2.0 GPA. You know, that's part of the requirement. You know, people go, oh, it's a beauty contest. Well, it's not really a beauty contest. It's not about that. It's really about picking students who can be ambassadors for the different events and different programs here on the campus and promote the homecoming activities. And some of them are running independently. They just want to do that. And some are being sponsored by a club or organization. So there's all different ladies running. So.
Fine.
No problem.
We covered everything.
Okay, good.
With the new philosophy courses being offered here at Cerritos College, informed student and philosophy major Chris Griswold gives Campus News Hour his sentiment on this new philosophical course. Online editor Jim Brannon reporting.
My name is Chris Griswold, and I'm a philosophy major.
Since hearing about the new philosophy courses being offered, introduction to bioethics, and you know the new religion course that they're going to be offering, how do you feel about these new courses being offered at Cerritos?
I'm really excited that the philosophy department is being expanded because although we have a wonderful department here, we could always use more. You know, we have very competent professors, and I feel like they could help out our students even more, and this is the way to do it with these new classes.
And so you were part of the philosophy club last semester?
Yes, I actually am this semester too. I'm one of the head coordinators. We meet every Tuesday at 11. Yeah, we actually just had a great speaker from the University of the West on Tuesday. He's an American Buddhist chaplain. And he was just, you know, giving a presentation on Buddhism in L.A. and how L.A. is the cultural center of the world right now for Buddhism.
Any other thoughts about the new courses being offered or philosophy in general at Cerritos?
I would like to see more students involved, more students. Just if you have that curious nature, whatever, just take the course and see what it can offer you, because I think a lot of people just pass it by thinking, oh, it's not for me. But, you know, you never know until you try it. So I would like to see more students that have that curious nature just, you know, come on in, check out the club, check out a course, whatever interests you.
Disney's Lion King is being re-released in 3D and 2D in theaters, as well as debuting Blu-ray. Nostalgia is propelling Lion King to Disney's third largest grossing animated film, replacing Moneyball in the top spot in the box office. Disney has decided to extend Lion King's theatrical release. Staff writer Alan Sanchez reporting.
Disney's The Lion King, a classic children's film, has been re-released. The film was brought back to the big screen September 16, 2011, now playing in 2D and 3D. The film was first released back in 1994, and it has been a Disney classic since. Nothing has changed from the film besides the whole 3D part, but you can still watch it in 2D. I really recommend this movie. Personally, it was one of my favorites growing up. It's a really sad story that, of course, winds up happily ever after in the end, just like most of Disney's movies. If you're looking for a movie that's going to bring back some good nostalgia, then I recommend watching this movie. It's basically the same storyline. Simba is born. They present him to the rest of the animals at Rock Pride. And then it's followed by the death of Mufasa and Scar becoming the ruler and teaming up with the hyenas, while Simba has no clue that this is going on. He's still blinded by Scar's lies, and he believes that he was the reason for his father's death. But eventually, he stumbles into an old friend, Nala, who tells him exactly what's going on back in Pride Rock. And he returns to defeat his uncle Scar and the hyenas and reclaim his throne as king in Pride Rock. I remember being a child and being in the theater. And not just in the theater, at home too. And I remember distinctly the part where the king, Mufasa at the time, he's falling off of a cliff and Scar has his life in his hands. He can pretty much let him fall to his death so he can be the king, or he can save him and be a good brother and just accept the fact that he's not going to be king yet. But Scar decides to let him fall to his death, and Simba goes up to his father and he's tapping him in the head, but his father's dead. And I remember being a child and crying to that part every single time it would happen. I would wish for something else to happen, because that's what you do when you're a child, but it never did. And even to this day, seeing The Lion King in theaters was a tearjerker. So I really recommend this movie. You can take your children, because, well, of course, they're from a different generation. Maybe they haven't seen the movie before. It'll be something new for them. But I would give it 5 stars. Definitely enjoyed myself. This was staff writer Alan Sanchez reporting for Talonworks.
The Cerritos College women's volleyball team got their first conference win over East Los Angeles College. Cerritos won 3 of the 4 sets, setting the pace of the match in the second set. Staff writer Paola Perez reporting.
Can I have your first and last name?
Teresa Velasquez.
The team has come back strong from the losses at the San Diego Mesa tournament. What's changed?
Well, it changed those teams, the San Diego Mesa tournament or the preseason, is to find out what we need to work up for the season, for the conference. So in San Diego Mesa, that was a very good experience for a lot of the girls there, a lot of freshmen. So it's a good experience for them. And they need a lot of work, like serve, receive, and a lot of offense, defense, all. Totally, we need to work on it. So now we apply it. So for the conference, we started just last Friday. So we have with ELAC. So that was the first game as conference. So I think all the experience and all the errors we have in the past, we're working on that. So we can be better for the conference. And I think we're doing that. So that's why we have the first game.
Who do you feel did their best in the game against ELAC?
Well, we have our sophomore, Lupe Garcia. This is number 33. She is an all-around player. She is a setter, and she also is an outside hitter. So I'm pretty sure that, I don't have the stats on my hands, but I'm pretty sure she makes like probably 14 kills. And 5 aces, so she did really well. As a team captain.
What kind of things do you do after a loss to motivate the team?
Well, we have to motivate them that we need to get better every time. We need to work hard in practice. We need to fix the staff, there's this our weakness. So and that motivates to them that we just need to, you know, this one game is over. We need to think in the other one. So it's that why we had the conference visited at home. So we had time to improve, you know, where we lost. You know, every time we lost a game, to get improved every time. It's another new game. Okay. It's a new game.
What can we expect on Wednesday and why?
Well, Wednesday is a classic, you know. It's Long Beach, Cerritos. So it's a classic. So expect to be like, you know, a classic game. They want to beat us and we want to beat them. So it's like, it's going to be a good game. So hopefully the girls show up and, you know, learn, you know, play as plays the best, because they're working for that. So we're working a lot in our really weakness. So hopefully on Wednesday we'll fix that one and we can be okay. We can be good. So let's see.
Stephanie Ortiz.
And what's your major and what year are you?
My major is, I think you guys have it under biology. It's physical therapy. My year, freshman.
Okay. What was the key to your success against the ELAC team?
Well, I'm redshirting, so I didn't play. But the key in success was adjusting to the way our opponents played, which was hitting more angles and covering more of their tips and blocks and just communicating throughout the game.
And how did this game in your eyes differ from the last game?
I guess just more communication and then just opening our eyes to the game, to like somewhat, I guess, guessing what they were going to do. And just our attitude overall was way better this game. We were more positive.
And what are you anticipating for the next game and why?
Long Beach, it's going to be an exciting and it's going to be a back-to-back fight and battle. We saw them during the San Diego tournament and they put up a fight, and just because it's Long Beach, you know, we're going to fight through it.
What has helped your team succeed in the matches that you've won so far?
So far, what's helped our team is, I guess, not giving up and knowing that, you know, putting up a fight will pay off in the end, and just communicating overall and then just trying to have fun. That's what we usually play better when we have fun. So that's when, you know, we're just going with the game and just having fun.
Madison Guastella. My major is Administration of Justice, and this is my sophomore year of college.
What do you think was the key to your success that you guys had against them?
We stayed on top of it. Our chemistry on the court was a lot better. We stayed talking to each other. We never, if we made a mistake, we brought each other up. We just never really took it too personal if we made a mistake.
How did this game differ from the last game?
I think just our attitude was more positive. The last game, we just kind of gave up more so.
What are you anticipating for the next game that's coming up and why?
I'm anticipating we're going to play the same as we did against ELAC to get another win against Long Beach City. And I think that because now that we've played that, we know how to stay on top of it, keep good attitudes.
And what has helped your team succeed in the matches that you've won?
The talking when we do. And the keeping good attitudes.
Last question. I saw that you guys like the girls waiting on the side were cheering.
Yes.
Whose idea was that?
All of ours. It's because being team sport, even though you're on the sideline, you still have a really big impact on how we play on the court. So for us, when our team on the sideline cheers and like it brings us up, it like keeps us going. So
is
when they
the
do
first
it.
Sorry to interrupt, but is this the first group that started doing it, or it has been passed down?
It's been passed down. We have made some new cheers that are more personal, more like, what's that saying? It's inside jokes that we've had from like when we do our tournaments, stuff that's happened with the rooms or just funny stuff that happens. We turn those into cheers and it makes it more fun.
My name is Jessica Peralta. I'm a freshman. My major is zoology.
What was the key to the success that you guys had against ELAC?
The key that we gained was that we got motivated. We got motivated in the fact that we didn't want to lose against a team that we know we could beat. We talked about it, and in the next game when we went in with the motivation and going in stronger to play harder.
How did this game differ from the last game?
ELAC was let's say we played harder and we tried harder. We tried to do less mistakes. And the previous game, we did more errors. The more we tried to fix them, the more we would do them. And in this game, we instead of doing more errors, we improved them and we did more what we were supposed to.
What has helped your team succeed in the matches that you've won so far?
The motivation that we get. The team spirit that we get on all of us, the new techniques we learn each day in practice, we put them in practice in those games, and that's how we get those points to win the matches, because we do what we're supposed to. The coaches tell us to do what we do in practice, so that's what we do.
And what are you anticipating for the next match, and why?
I feel like we're gonna do better because now we're working on what we usually haven't been doing in the games. So now we're working harder on the roll shot and tipping, which is one of the things that we usually been getting scored on because we don't go for those balls. But now we're working on that. So I hope that this next match we do better in the errors that we've done in the previous games.
After Falcons football won two games in a row, making them number 4 community college football team in the state, number 1 team settled by colleges, running back Donald Dickerson pushed Falcons back, ending in a 56-21 loss for Cerritos College football team on Saturday at Saddleback. Assistant sports editor Lauren Gandara reporting.
Ben Gomez, number 11, I play quarterback.
All right, so what was the key to the game for you guys?
The key to this game was to come out and play hard. They got after us last year in playoffs, so we got after us on our home field, so obviously we're having a home game. We wanted to come back and really make a statement, you know.
Okay, so how much did being ranked number 1 in the state motivate you?
It does nothing for me. I don't look at those statistics. Neither does our team. We play as if it doesn't matter who we're playing against, doesn't matter what number we are. We're playing just to play football and just to play hard every single week.
DeJuan Gill, cornerback, number 7.
What do you think that you guys could have improved on?
Execution. Execution is definitely a big part of our defense that we lack of right now. I mean, I think we got everything we need, but it's just execution.
What was it about Saddleback that you think put you guys down?
The screens, and we played down to their level. You know, they was talking, we talked back, kind of brung us out of our game. So I think we need to improve on that too.
Dominic Sierra, number 20.
What do you think you guys could have improved on in the game?
Just executing. I think we didn't execute. I mean, it's not the DBs. I'm not going to blame no one. It was the whole defense.
Okay, so what do you think kept you guys down with Saddleback?
I just think they picked out where they were throwing. They were just doing the things that we were messing up on.
Thomas Gray, number 4.
What do you think you guys could have improved on as far as what was going on in the game?
I mean, basically, just play with more heart. Basically, like, come out there strong, focused, ready to play football. We came out there lackadaisical. Monsters everywhere. People, you know, just not ready to go out there and play football, basically.
How do you think you did as an individual player?
I mean, it's a team sport, so as an individual player, like, what my team do, that's what I do. So, try to help the team out as much as possible. So, I mean, I can't really say nothing much about individualism, so. I mean, people just worrying about, you know, how good they are. You know, basically, like I said, people being timid, people being scary, not focusing, you know, not playing Cerritos football. Like, we didn't go out there and play our game. Our heads is everywhere.
Number 20, Donnell Dickerson. Yo, what was the key to the game for you guys?
Key to the game was just executing like Coach asked us to do today, man.
For the second year in a row, you guys had a big game against Cerritos.
Correct.
Do you feel any pressure to avenge last season's loss?
Yeah, that's what Coach stressed all week, of how bad they beat us last year in the playoffs. And so, I mean, we still had that sour taste in our mouth, and we decided to just come out here and just execute, man. And we lucky we got the W, man. So, hey, it is what it is, man.
Yeah, Riverside College upset Mount Sac. You guys are number 1 team in the state now. How much did that motivate you?
Hey, they motivated us a lot, man. But we still got a lot of work to do. We're going to go in to film Monday, and hopefully we can come out of this with another W after this bye week. But let me go over here and celebrate.
I appreciate that. Thanks a lot, man. All
right. Number 71. Side of my college.
You guys had a big game on the ground. You guys kept pushing the D-line back. How are you able to do it?
Just great coaching. Throughout the week, we try to emphasize tempo in our offense and tries to get people on their heels. And I feel like we had a healthy O-line and a healthy backfield and, you know, great coaching by our coaches. You know, it's simple as that.
You
just execution.
You guys jumped on the Falcons early and kept pushing all night. How are you able to keep that going?
Just try to keep the foot on the pedal, man. You know, this is a team where if you let off one bit, then they'll jump right back at you. And we saw that last year. They got us in the playoffs, so we had something to prove this year.
Mount Sac was upset by Riverside. You guys took the number 1 spot. How much did that motivate you?
You know, it's just another little thing in the big scheme of things for us. We're trying to take it 1 week at a time, man. So we're 5-0 right now, bro.
Number 4, Sadabat. You guys had a big game. How are you able to do it?
Just execution. You know, we practiced hard, and we came out and played hard.
How much did last season's loss in the playoffs affect you guys?
It left a bitter taste in our mouth, you know. So we had to come out and redeem ourselves and show everybody that, you know, we're number one.
And since you spoke about number one, Mount Side lost, you guys took the number one spot. How much did that motivate you guys?
It motivated us a lot. You know, we just keep our heads, just focus and play our game.
And where you guys turn it off from here?
There's nowhere to go but up. That's about it.
All right, thank you, man.
It's what's happening, who's happening at Cerritos College, and why.
Feel the beat. The Talon Marks and TalonMarks.com.
It's what you're doing, what you're thinking, what you're watching and listening to.
Feel the beat. The Talon Marks and TalonMarks.com.
It's your school, your town, your world, your life. Read about it in the Talon Marks and TalonMarks.com.
Feel the beat. The Talon Marks and TalonMarks.com.
The Talon Marks and TalonMarks.com. The beat of Cerritos College.
So, hi, my name is Vanya. I am a philosophy major here at Cerritos College, and I'm also on the board at the Philosophy Club, and we're promoting a play called Marx in Soho by Howard Zinn, where we have a talented actor by the name of Bob Wake embody the late Karl Marx, and this play really touches on key philosophical issues such as ethical and political theories, namely communism and socialism. It's a really great way to supplement, you know, your collegiate education, especially in a time with so much political rhetoric being said in different medias. And it's really great to get a new perspective on political theory. And most importantly, it's free. So come to the teleconference room October 17th from 12:30 to 2, or from 5:30 to 7. And we're going to have two showings of the same play called Marx in Soho. And like I said, it's a great way to open your eyes or get a new perspective on political theory, communism, and just delve into some philosophical issues that are so interesting. Everyone always, you know, really responds well to these. So we decided to get this play going for Cerritos. So we hope you guys enjoy it.
Be kind whenever possible. It is always possible. The Dalai Lama. Even though Jake Harrison at 125 pounds took first place in his weight class, it was not enough to keep Cerritos College wrestling team at number 2. As a team, Cerritos took fifth place at the Santa Ana tournament on Saturday at Santa Ana College. Assistant sports editor Lauren Gandara reporting.
My name is Jake Harrison, weight class 125.
What did it feel like going from second place to fifth place all after one tournament?
Well, it was disappointing as always, but we were missing two of our best guys and we didn't have a 97-pounder. So, you know, next week we should have a full lineup, so we should come back strong as a team.
What was your whole mentality going into the tournament?
Well, it was like my first individual tournament, so I wanted to start off the season strong and get a good state rankings nice and early, so I have a good, start for the season.
How did you strategize going into each match?
Well, like every match, I just took it one match at a time, just tried to focus and just try to focus on my strengths and what I do best.
Was this your first time winning all four matches?
Yes, this was my first time winning all four matches.
How did it feel?
It felt great, and it was my first place at a college-level tournament, so, I mean, it felt awesome.
Damian Gomez, 125.
How hard is it to cut weight going into each tournament?
I don't cut any weight.
You don't have to cut any weight?
Not a pound.
Is that the lowest weight class that yeah. Others? Oh, okay. So what do you think helped you from training that helped succeed in your matches?
I have better coaching this year than I did in high school. You know, they're more focused on what I could do better instead of what my high school coach just wanted me to focus on, you know?
So, what did it feel like going from second place to fifth place after one tournament as a team?
I didn't go this past weekend, so I took it off. That was last weekend.
How did you strategize going into each match?
I don't know. I'm really a defensive wrestler. I'm not the type that goes and goes. I'm more of a, you know, wait for their mistake and then capitalize on it.
So, what was it like winning all four matches?
I loved it. I was really happy since it was like my first real college tournament. Yeah.
It's nice. Well, my first name is Keith. My last name, Yves. Weight class, 87 to 65.
So, what did it feel like going from second place to fifth place as a team after just winning the tournament?
Well, you know, I'm really proud of the effort we put out there, you know. Proud of us as a whole. I think we have room for improvement. I think that as long as we have supporters out there still, out there, you know, going up the sea or whatever, Falcon, we're going to be successful.
So, what was your whole mentality going into the tournament?
I can't really say that out loud.
So, how did you strategize going into each match?
The idea was to just push the cardio because I knew we had better cardio. We work harder, and I wanted to just show everyone that we had bigger hearts.
Okay,
just leave it all out there on the mat, pretty much. No regrets, no surrender.
Okay, so what do you think helped you from training that helped you to succeed in your matches?
My great partners like Tyree Cox. Kent Tran, my man. Coaches like Coach Gould and Gene helped me not at all.
Wait, did you lose any matches?
Huh? Oh yeah, I lost one to the state finalists.
Right, so what do you think you failed to focus on that resulted in your loss?
I think I failed to focus on the little things, you know, like setups, being angry all the time and hitting people. Well, being happy angry all the time during the match and angles, situations like that.
So how hard is it to cut weight going into each tournament?
Oh, I don't cut weight. You know what I'm saying? I'm always here. You know what I mean?
Tyree Cox and 184 pounds, dropping down to 174 pounds.
What did it feel like going from second place to fifth place as a team all after one tournament?
It was kind of depressing, but at the same time, like, we all worked hard. We were missing a couple guys, so it was pretty good. Overall, for what we brought to the tournament.
So, what was your mentality going into the tournament?
My mentality was that I wanted to actually place this week because the week prior I didn't place. So, I just wanted to make little improvements and get better and better.
Okay, and did you place?
Yes, I got third place.
So, how did you strategize going into each match?
I just went out there with the mentality that I had to win. I listened to my coaches and whatever they told me to do, I did.
After losing your first match, what clicked inside you that helped you win your last five matches?
The fact that I didn't wrestle the way I wrestle. I wrestled his match. I let him take advantage and get to positions where he was better at. And I just had to get into my zone and wrestle my match and where I knew I was dominant.
How hard is it to cut weight going into each tournament?
I usually don't cut weight. I'm usually like 6 pounds heavy, and I just drop that during the week. But this week I'm going to drop like 12 pounds, so it's not really that hard. I just need to watch what I eat and make sure I work hard.
This week's free speech film brings the elimination of the unmanned red light intersection cameras to light with the student body. Social media editor Yuri Gutierrez and stat writer Philip Oakley reporting.
Recently, California decided to take out all their red light cameras because of budget. Staff writer Yuri Gutierrez went out and asked students how they feel about that.
I think that it definitely helps in catching people who run red lights, but at the same time, I think that people are going to run red lights regardless of, you know, whether they see that there's a camera there. At least that seems to be some people, so I'm pretty sure there's a minority of people like myself who will see a camera and think, you know, oh shoot, I better not accidentally run a red light. Because, you know, when I run a red light, I usually don't but it's more like, you know, you don't know when to slow down or whether you should speed up, so I don't know. Have you guys ever run red lights before? But anyway, I think that if it's being taken down to save money, that I think that's okay. You know, I wouldn't get on a pedestal and start yelling at the government about that.
Matthew, last name is Cameron. Possibly music is what it's looking like right now, and then maybe a minor in psychology. I actually think the pros outweigh the cons in that one. granted, it's great if somebody blows a red light when no cops around and snaps the photo and gets their license plate and they just mail them a ticket. But from my experience of knowing people who actually got the ticket in the mail and everything like that, there's actually no follow-up. So it's kind of like they pay it, they don't. And so if they ever actually do physically get pulled over and they see they have an unpaid ticket, it does more damage at that point. But if they never get pulled over, then it was kind of a waste. Not only that, but it's very distracting to other drivers who go up to an intersection with a right as the light's yellow and then switches over to red and then flashes everybody, including cross traffic. It could kind of be dangerous if you have somebody who, you know, say they have astigmatism that gets, you know, irritated through bright flashes. Now they're going to start swerving. I mean, so the execution of it is flawed, but the application of it, I think, is actually very interesting and good.
My name is Savannah Beckers, and my major is undecided at the moment. I think that they're a good idea, but sometimes they could be, like, what's the word? Inaccurate. And they should try and update their lenses so that they could get clearer pictures of people's faces. And their sensitivity should be a little better, because you could be, like, in the middle of a yellow light, and it'll go off anyway. And you could be, like, just an inch over the line, and it'll go off, and you'll get a picture for no reason, get a ticket.
Gary Padron, my major is aerospace engineering.
Can you spell your first last name?
GARYPADRON. I really don't care, because,
Have you ever crossed a red light?
No, I've never crossed a red light.
Have you ever gotten a ticket by the cameras?
Just don't care, because should have run a red light anyways.
Yeah.
My name is Ryan Silva, and I'm an undecided major.
Can you spell your first
name? Honestly, like, yeah, I think it's kind of cool. But then again, for, like, other people that are, like, irresponsible and stuff like that, I think that's bad. Because a lot of people, they get in, like, in a lot of accidents because people take red lights. So it kind of has its ups and downs. So I'm, like, in the middle about it.
Thank you, that's it.
Mark Elefante, and spell MARKELEFANTE. Well, me personally, I get nervous around him, so I hate taking right turns on a red light. But, I mean, if he brings up a good point as far as there's irresponsible drivers, I've seen people who run them don't stop at all. Kind of tweet about it now, so.
It's Philip Coley. Back to you.
In an effort to better understand what subjects students would like to see being reported on Talon Marks, Campus News Hour hits the beat at Falcon Square. Assistant News Editor Patrick Dolly reporting.
Laura Guerrero.
And what's your major?
Psychology.
What I want to know is what type of stories would you like to see Talon Marks run?
Just in general about, you know, majoring and transferring and all that. Majors and transfers.
So you would like to read about different, about what it would take to transfer and things like that?
Yeah.
Ben Hernandez.
And what's your major, Ben?
Business.
Okay. And the question that I'm asking is, I want to see what type of stories the students want to read in the Talon Marks paper.
Talon Marks? Yeah. What paper are you talking
about? Which is our school paper?
I don't know.
Like right now, because sometimes we might run certain types of stories that students might not be interested in. Okay. What type of things interest you?
I don't know, like music and stuff like that. So you guys really write about that?
So you would like to see us write more about music and art reviews and things like that?
Art, yeah.
Okay. What about, is there anything about school, about the school or about classes that you would like to read?
Yeah, I mean, I know you guys do that already, right? Yeah. But, I mean, just keep us posted on stuff, like when the auditorium, when was that, the gym? When's that going to be done and stuff? Right?
Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Do you ever read the paper?
Not really.
And why don't you read it?
I just really don't have time.
Does it have anything to do with the type of stories that we run?
No.
Okay,
no.
So it's just a matter of not having time.
Yeah.
Okay, so if we start updating you on what's going on with the gym and things like that, those are the kind of things you'd be interested in.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. And what's your name?
Manuel,
what's your last name?
Garcia.
And what's your major, man?
Be a paramedic.
Okay. And You said you don't read the Telemarch paper, right?
Yeah.
And could you repeat why you don't read it?
Because I don't have time for it.
Okay. And is there anything in the paper that you just, that you're not interested in reading?
I haven't even seen the paper, so I don't have time for that.
Okay, what kind of stuff could we run that would interest you?
Sports.
Okay. You said you want to be a paramedic.
Yeah.
If we ran more things related to your major, would that interest you?
Yeah.
Would that prompt you to read the paper more?
Yeah.
Christopher Madsen.
And what's your major?
Undecided, you know.
Why don't you read, or do you read the paper?
I never saw it. No, it's come here and then leave, you know?
Okay. Okay. And is there a reason why? So you don't even know what the paper is?
No, I don't know how it looks.
Okay, so do you know where the paper is?
Yeah, it's right there at the stand.
Okay. Yeah. What can we do as a Telemark staff that could spark interest to your
maybe put, like, people's careers, like, different stuff, you know? Like, you know, if you're into auto, put some auto stuff there, you know? Maybe that's pretty much in sports and all that, you know?
Right. Okay. Is there anything on campus, and this can go for both of you, is there anything on campus that you think that we need to write about that we don't? Like, stuff that you see that happens that we don't even bother to cover?
Not really. I don't really see nothing. Okay. I just come here and then leave, you know?
Anthony Hilario.
And what's your major?
Aerospace engineering.
You said that you've never read the Telemarch paper.
Yeah.
Okay, can I ask why?
Well, because we have a lot of things to do, like, well, you know, you have your phones, you have your computers to look at the news. Why would you look at the newspaper?
So, news is pretty much, the paper's pretty much obsolete.
Yeah, okay. You could say.
What could we do, what type of stories could we run that can make it more interesting?
I wouldn't say controversial stories, but I guess the truth.
Okay.
You know.
Any particular sports?
Well, if you have, like, a folks on a group, let's say the Lakers, okay. You know, I mean, I love the Lakers, so. Okay.
Well, we stick just with Cerritos College.
Okay.
But is there any Cerritos College issues or sports or anything that you would be interested in reading?
Basketball. And probably class-wise, you know, because I hear a lot of students say that I'm not getting the classes I need to transfer.
Yeah.
You know? And there's fewer classes every year, and I don't know, stuff like that.
Kevin Hoggard.
Okay, and Mr. Hoggard, and you're an instructor here at Cerritos.
I certainly am.
I know I have to do this. Okay, and you are a theater professor, correct?
Yes.
Okay, I'll edit all that out. And do you read our paper?
Yes, I do. Yeah, okay. I read it every week.
And what do you think about the Talon Marks paper?
Usually, there aren't a lot of articles that interest me, I would say, put it that way. It's hard for me to describe what does interest me. I look at sports articles because I have people in my class that are on sports teams, and I like to see how they're doing. Obviously, since I'm a theater professor, I look at arts articles and things like that. And I look at political things, not national politics, because I get enough of that everywhere else. In fact, it always seems to me kind of feeble when the Telemarks tries to cover that. But school politics, I think, is always kind of interesting. Even though I try to stay out of it, I think it's good dirt to sling. If you guys took more advantage of that, it might be fun.
Like the Associated Students, Student Senate. Things of that nature.
Well, yeah, that's going to be more interesting to the students, you know, and there's far fewer faculty, but what the faculty are going to be interested in is what the Board of Trustees is doing and what the, you know, what's going on there. Of course, we get that anyway in our mailboxes and in our email stuff, but I think we'd all kind of be curious about the student perspective of that kind of stuff. I like the little interview thing where they ask people's opinions on
Free speech zone.
Is that what it is, where they have like six pictures and here's my quote? I think that's fun.
What could we do with the free speech zone to make it more enjoyable?
Well, I'm not sure. I kind of like it the way it is. But you just asked me here, you know, you gave me a card and said, let me know what's going on. I think that's what to do, is what's going on campus. You know, to find out, to talk to more, talk about professors. I don't want you to talk about me. In fact, Telemarks has asked me to do articles on me before, and I've said no. But you know, what's going on in the different departments. When I have to be on people's evaluation committees, I go to their classes, and I'm always amazed what goes on, you know, in a sculpture class, in a music theory class, in all these different classes. And I think that would be a good project. What goes on in a class?
What does a class consist of?
Sure. Yeah. What do you learn in this class? In other words, to make it more of a community. I've taught at 5 colleges, and even though Cerritos is the only community college that I've taught at, I've taught here longer than anywhere else. But Cerritos is the only place that I've been at that doesn't have a sense of community. It's a commuter school, but it doesn't feel like everybody is on the same page. It doesn't feel like everybody supports each other. It doesn't feel like people are colleagues or whatever. It just feels like a factory, you know. Yeah. And we've been able to get that kind of feeling in the theater department, and I bet other departments have been able to get feeling of community within their own department, but in terms of within college. Other place I've been, everybody goes to everybody else's events. They have workshops, and people go hear what somebody has to say about philosophy and that kind of stuff. And right here, they have things, but nobody goes. Yeah. So, I'm making this. I'm improvising this, but it strikes me that if the Talent Arts could be the engine that you know drives people together,
that coordinates the events.
Yeah. Yeah, that gets people interested in what else is going on. You know, the up close and personal thing and the Olympics. I don't know, maybe you're old enough to remember, but they used to have an up close and personal on some athlete that was not a U.S. athlete.
Yeah.
And so even though it was an event where you knew who the U.S. athlete were and you were going to root for that, by the end of this 5-minute thing about Yuri Runstman, you were going, go Yuri, when the race happened, because you saw what he came from and how hard it was, and his sister died, and he has to take care of her kids and all this stuff, and it make it personal, make people care. You know, that's what a good story can do. And instead of just reporting the facts, you know, find out what there is to care about.
Make it personal
on campus. I know. That's
how do we make it personal?
You know, ask more questions of people. Don't just get the facts when you interview. You know, good interviewers, you know, go farther than that. It's just like good actors don't just go, here's the relationship, you're my mom and I'm your son. You know, they dig in and they go, yeah, but how do we feel about each other? The words are the same, but then everything comes out differently, and then the audience cares. Think about I used this example when you were in class, but think about people you know in your life who are complainers, who, you know, their life is terrible. And you usually don't want anything to do with them. But you go to theater to watch people's problems, you know, and somewhere along the line, somebody made you interested in their problems. And so I would imagine that any kind of good writing does that. I know, do you ever read the Times, the LA Times? Steve Lopez is one of the columns. They have a bunch of really good columnists, and they're really... really get into, you know, the personal aspects of whatever issue they're talking about, and you feel like you care about them when you're done. I don't know, because I'm not a journalist. I don't really know how to do it.
But as a reader, you would say that the goal is to care about what you're reading by the time you're done.
Well, to care about the college, to go around the college, and yeah. Sure, to find out what is there to care about. Because I know it's happening. Because I see.
This has been the 7th installment of Talent Marks Campus News Hour here on WPMD.org on the net. We thank you for listening and would like to remind you to pick up the printed edition of Talent Marks at news racks located throughout the campus. We would also like to invite you to log on to talentmarks.com for the latest in breaking news here at Cerritos College. On behalf of the Talent Marks staff, I'm Tito Benavides. Have a great day, Falcons.